All we have brought before you, this inner yearning that continues to speak to you even when our mouths are silent, cause me to see your glory. Cause me to bear your glory in your interest and the salvation of men. We bless you, our Father. We'll bow our heads and receive an anointing both to speak and to receive, to understand and to become your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been exciting in the Lord's presence, and I trust that God will help us further in the next couple of minutes, so that we'll be able to rest properly and come for yet another time with God. If you will turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60, then we'll be reading from the first three verses what it's one of the main emphases in the ministry of the word this afternoon. Trusting further that the Lord will breathe upon the word and that it will become flesh in us, that we will experience the word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the topic is simple: arise, shine. And there are many entrances into this message, which is to say, the message is capable of being treated in series. But whatever we shall be able to cover by the grace of God will be sufficient to provoke us into those levels of responses that the word of God will demand. But if you wouldn't mind it, I'd like us to just sing the song a little bit as we tell one another to arise and shine. Amen. So how does it go? Arise, shine, for the light is come, for the light is come. Upon me, Praise the Lord. Before we begin the reading of the first three verses of Isaiah 60, which parallels with the first three verses of Isaiah 61, which are going to be read and considered together, I would like to say a few things by way of introduction that will assist us to get this message in a proper perspective. Now, if you would turn with me to Isaiah 42, and if we will read, for example, the first four verses, two verses of which are quoted in the book of Matthew and applied to Jesus. It says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth and the coastland, the isles." That's the original King James Version. "The isles shall wait for his law." You will notice in the very first line of the first verse, it says, "my servant." And from Isaiah 42 to Isaiah 53, all 12 chapters deal with prophecies that relate to the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And portions of them apply to us only because we are by God constituted to be the body of the Christ. So the scriptures there are true principally of Christ and then to us in a secondary sense. Notice the word "my servant." This is the individual Lord Jesus Christ in reference in this chapter. And actually, the 12 chapters from Isaiah 42 to 53 are a collection of prophetic songs. They are messianic in the sense that they reveal Christ as the anointed one, the one the Father has chosen to bring redemption to all humanity. But from Isaiah 54, we meet a new set of prophetic utterances which, although relate to the Lord Jesus Christ in a secondary sense, relating to him exclusively in that regard, actually deal with the collective Christ, the church, or the Christ both head and body. Is that clear? All right. So in this connection, let's go to Isaiah 54 verse 17, and you will notice that there is a change in the now form of the word servant as the Lord addresses his words. And of course, in Galatians chapter 4, the entire chapter is applied to the church by the apostle Paul. Praise the name of the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn." What would you like to say? This is the heritage of what? The servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So here, the plural form of the word servants is used. But then there are portions of the prophecies that belong to Jesus Christ in an exclusive sense. But the greater portion of the scriptures from the first verse of Isaiah 54 all through to the last chapter, Isaiah 66, relates to the church. This is important. But sprinkled through this 12 chapters, as a matter of fact, from 54 to 66 should be 13 chapters, sprinkled all through are portions that exclusively relate to the person and ministry of Jesus Christ. And from what the manner of their fulfillment in the new, we garner insight into how they apply to us. Having said that, let's go to the mainstream of our body. The set of passages from Isaiah 54 speak to you and to me. It reveals the ministry of the collective Christ. Christ, both head and body, but containing instructions for our guidance. Many things could be said in the day they will be said, but there are prophetic directions locked up in this set of chapters that deal with insights from the presence of God on what we should do and the respective timings for these various activities. But that's not our burden for now. But here in the 60th chapter, we may locate in the first three verses a direct instruction to us now. And so we take the reading, Isaiah chapter 60. It is a divine charge coming as it does to us at the very end of the age. It has always had an application to the Church of Jesus Christ from the day of Pentecost till now. But the spirit of prophecy has indicated very clearly that their fulfillment belongs especially to this time of the end. They speak to you, they speak to me, they speak of the collective Christ, God's instruction to us. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory.
From the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you, rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all over peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen on you. Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. That makes my work easy, because I wouldn't have to struggle long to communicate to you the essence, the contents of the divine charge as given to us here in its four parts. Of course, if you didn't hear the reading, you will hear it when it is read again to you by your CD. Praise the name of the Lord. And it will interest you that it confirms the four divisions of the divine charge. But we want to put everything in perspective in relation to that sudden change God is commanding upon us as a people. Because I tell you, you are going to arise and shine. and your thousands shall press into the kingdom. For as God sees you, he sees at least 1,000 persons lined up behind you. When you arise and shine, the 1,000 will catch the fire. And if you stir up yourself, your thousands shall catch the fire. And each one of them shall have their thousands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But let's put this in perspective. The divine charge is contained in the first three verses of chapter 16 and elaborated upon as to the details of the glories that we attain our lives when we respond to the divine charge. But then Isaiah 61 verses 1, 2, and 3 detail to us the inevitable results that flow as testimony in the lives of persons who arise and shine. Let me put it this way so that you'll get it. If you obey the charge given in verses 1, 2, and 3 of Isaiah chapter 60, you shall be able to say and relate this to you personally, what is written in Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. The Lord Jesus Christ took it and applied it to himself as the Son of Man. But he sets the tone of how it is to be realized in our lives. Each one of us should be able to say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them what? Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And we say, amen. This is my testimony and shall continue to be my testimony in leaps and bounds. I shall walk in the reality of it. But when I think to walk in the reality of it, I will go to Isaiah chapter 60 and obey the divine charge. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. How may we understand this charge? What are the several elements that constitute the full message in the charge given? First, when it says arise, shine, the first thing that it indicates is that we should awake, awake. That's the first of four things that we need to take. And I would like to tell you one thing. So many persons that have lived defeated lives shall be a sign and wonder round about them. Because a change is come. And the change began to be from the first night. Even though certain details are given here, they do not describe what will happen after I minister, but what has begun and what will continue to be. And each man shall determine the pace at which he wants these things to be fulfilled in his life. If in obedience you strew, the glory of the Lord shall attend to you in that portion, and the difference will be seen round about you. Amen. If you decide to jog, okay, the glory will be more pronounced. But the beginning of our obediences will not be unattended to by or with evidences of divine visitation, so that you are able to say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. If you choose to run as men run when they do a distant race of maybe 1 mile or 1,500 kilometers, well, then the world of influence that you shall exert shall know a bigger dimension. But when you mount up with wings and fly, then it will not be you going and giving glory, but the people coming, the Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your arising. But the first denomination of this charge is that we should awake, awake. The reference in this connection shows that we should come out of moral weaknesses and failures. And right from the first night, God began to work things into our experience. Ancient habits have been broken during these meetings. Men have been set free from things they were helplessly bound to. There has been an awakening, and there shall be further awakening. In this connection, let us notice what is given to us in Ephesians chapter 5, where Apostle Paul, by divine inspiration, makes a commentary on Isaiah chapter 60. And he tells us that in understanding the charge given, it will include those things that are shown to us in Isaiah 52. But let's go quickly now to Ephesians chapter 5. Things are said, particularly from verse 8, which you would like to read. And for time constraints, we are going straight to verse 12. The verse we want is verse 14, which is a quotation in Isaiah of Isaiah 60 with commentary. Now, listen closely. The source scripture is always richer than any reference to it, showing the specific line of fulfillment of the prophecy. But when we get to verse 14, we'll understand. So I take the reading from verse 12. We need verse 14. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is what? Light. And as the word of God went out this morning, a liberating power went forth with it. And certain habits have no strength to hold you anymore. For whatever is made manifest is what? Light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who what? Sleep. Arise from what? The dead. And Christ will give you light. Now, lift up your head and look this way. Here it does not say, for Christ has given you light, but what? Christ will give you light. But in Isaiah 60, it says, arise, shine, for what? Your light is come. We have to understand that in the first two levels of the application of the divine charge given in Isaiah 60, they relate to the things we must do before glory begins to appear in our life in such an unmistakable manner that it will be noticed by an increasing number of persons round about you. Amen. So, here it is the sleep of moral failure. It is being in a dead state spiritually, a backsliding condition. So the word of the word of divine charge is coming to people who are even in a defeated condition. They shall arise and do what? Shine. They are in covenant relationship with God, and what God will do in this time require the enlistment of all, and you shall be enlisted. I do not intend to labor on this too much because of the scope of the message, but see it in proper perspective. You have the ability to awake from your condition. When you do, Christ will give you light, and then you shall hear him say to you, arise and shine. And closely associated with these conditions of moral weakness and failure and being a backsliding condition are the depressions and circumstantial events that take place in your life, deriving their strength from the moral weaknesses. Your powers of your faculties of reasoning are suppressed because there is a guilty conscience that have dwelt side by side with that backsliding condition. But we rush quickly and take the second division. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 52. You will see the second of these four elements contained in the divine charge. Arise, shine. Chapter 52, verse 1. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. And you shall say, amen. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise and do what? Sit down, O Jerusalem. The second division of the divine charge is arise. Sit down. The first is awake. Awake. The second is what? Arise. Sit down. Praise the name of the Lord. We go to the third. The third is arise and shine, for thy light is come. In Isaiah 60, it does not seem to include the first two, but it does, as Ephesians 5:14 shows us. But the church is just given, arise, shine. And we shall see what the manner of arising is and what constitutes the shining. But we go to the fourth. The fourth is arise, break forth. And the reference is to what we find in verse 3 of Isaiah 60 and Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness what? Arise with what? Healing in his wings. We are the wings of the Almighty God. And the healings, anointings, and the fruitfulness anointing shall beam forth from our lives. And the level of pull that will result from this is tremendous. No one amongst us is standing in this fourth division, but it shall come to pass swiftly as the Lord teaches us to arise and shine. Now, we've seen the four divisions. It will take quite some labor detailing all of them, but I just move on, and then we come to Isaiah 61. This time, We understand that these verses relate to you and me. And it is only as the Son of Man could Jesus Christ apply this scripture to himself when he read it out in Luke chapter 4, beginning from verse 18. All right. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings, what? To the poor. These are the contents, the things that show forth when we shine. So when he talks about shining, he talks about bringing the message of life and victory and triumph and recovery to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, which includes healing physical bodies that have produced mental sleep in the individual. The person has resigned himself to fate and has come to a conclusion that that condition cannot change. The man sick of palsy was first of all sick in his mind. And he says, he has sent me to heal the broken hearted. So whenever an individual is in that state and you find yourself helpless, all you need to do is what? Arise and shine. And you will discover to your delight that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. Then it says further, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. From this few things, and of course we can go to verses 2, the later part of verse 2 and verse 3, which we cannot do because of time constraints. Do not intend to keep us here for too long, so that we can have enough rest and flow with the other ministries that shall be coming to bless our lives. But I just want to make this comment here. The acceptable year of the Lord is nothing else but the same thing referred to in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 4. It says, for the day of vengeance is in my heart. The year of my redeemed has come. So the year of the redemption of God's people is the acceptable year of the Lord. It's not beginning today. It is 2,000 years old. And the acceptable year of the Lord will never know a night. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you become a mini source. Look at the here in chapter 61. The direction of flow of ministry, of the activities indicated here, and not from man to God, but of a commissioned man to sufferers, to persons indicated, five separate divisions given to us in Isaiah 61 verse 1. Ministry flowing, he says the Spirit of the Lord God has the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. To heal the brokenhearted. The ministry flows this way. Because there has been an encounter with God somewhere. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. The year of the redeemed has not waited. In fact, in the Greek, the word this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes, that Jesus said after reading from verse 1 of chapter 61 to the first part of verse 2, has this in the original. This day is the beginning of the fulfillment of this scripture. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. And remember, this set of passages speak of the collective Christ. It describes what God expects from you and from me. And our brother yesterday took us to Isaiah chapter 6. And I was just excited in my spirit many shall say this morning, and I dare say all shall say, "Yeah, I am, send me." Praise the name of the Lord. Then you shall be able to say, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." All right, now let's go back to Isaiah chapter 60. We have seen that repentance is at the root of the beginning of our responses. The Lord does not give a command that we cannot execute. When he says, "Awake, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dust." Of course, that is how the King James Version puts it. The New King James Version says, "From the dead, arise from the dust, and Christ shall give you" what? "Light." It shall give you understanding. Why? Because the understanding you need will derive from what you already have, the capacity you already have, which will be converted and put to use for you in the area of getting victory for yourself along the lines in which you have known defeat and limitations, and bringing victory into other people's lives. So repentance is indicated. And I thank God we do not need to go much into this, because over and over again, there has been calls from the presence of the Lord as the ministries called up men and things, iniquities, old habits, we are purged from our lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the next is arise and sit down. Let's go to Isaiah 52. Verse 1. "Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion." 1. Put on your strength. If you are weak, say you are strong. Say so. "I am strong." Put on your strength. Take note of that. Put on your beautiful garments. These are two or four things that shall appear in our lives as evidences that we are arising and shining. Let's continue. It says, "For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you." Who is the uncircumcised? Who is the uncircumcised? Demonic spirits are uncircumcised. Events that embarrass you are unclean. It's like saying you've known too much of harassment, but those things will not come to you anymore. When you arise and do what? Sit down. It looks contradictory. If you are rising, then it seems that it is an opposite activity to be told to sit down. And may I say this, and please hear it with profit. The reason why many are not arising with is because they have not sat down with attention at the feet of Jesus. So many things that people struggle with are things that are less than them. It is a paradox for kings to be walking on feet and for beggars to be riding upon horses. Marine spirit is a beggar. It cannot rise with strength in your own life. All you need to do is to what? Arise and sit down. There's a whole lot of re-education, spiritual education God wants to give to us. It is a time to sit down and understand New Testament realities, new creation truths, things that are ours because of what Jesus Christ has done. Until we find them and say that they are ours, we will never find strength to bring the beggar down and to ride upon horses. I will not allow beggars to ride upon horses and I walk on my feet. No way. I hope over we never allow it. We never allow it. If I dream a dream that is looking one kind, I say, "My head, you are capable of better things." Do you hear me? capable of what? Better things. I cannot quake because I've arisen and I have sat down. What will you hear when the Lord speaks to you in a sitting condition? Say, we are seated with Christ here in the heavenly places, far above what? Principalities and powers. Oh, I wish I had time to go into some of these things. But we'll just remain on course and pursue this matter. Because we need to sit down so that we might stand. Because this is a day of standing. He stood alone. Now we stand for him. He is forever expecting until all his enemies become footstools. Of enemies who are not persons, they become the footstool in their destruction. Of enemies who are persons, they will be converted and they will worship God at our feet. Glory to God. Paul was such one, breathing out and threatening slaughter. What a passion, what an aggressive Lionic spirit he possessed. He said he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. How? It's only an anointed pen that can combine those words. Breathing, I think that looks like Acts chapter 9 verse 1. Peep into it and see whether it is. Breathing out what? Threatenings and slaughter. With passion, he said, he took letters from the high priest and went out to ravage the church. And Brother Ananias and some few people prayed for him. And God made that enemy his footstool. And he worshiped at the feet of Jesus. And he arose with the same passion to serve God. All those who are troubling you, they shall be bruised and brought to the feet of Jesus Christ. But as to those beggarly things, the elements of this world that seek to bring you in bondage, and those lies that come through dreams, and those things that come through a mindset cultured to defeat, you say, arise! Arise and do what? Sit there. If you know, if you hear what God has done for you, you will not be the same man. You will not need one prayer to stand up where you are, free forever. You can't shut, you can't run. Sit down until you hear enough to shout aloud for joy. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The way of faith is not known to the world. It's strange. It is all couched in science, deductive studies, analytic experimentation, survey. The world know him not. You can't know him by the true senses. He came to his own, his domain, the scripture says. And his own persons received him not. These are persons who are already in covenant relationship with him. Christians. But as many as received him, to them gave him what? Power. To become what? The sons of God. Even to them that were, believe into his name, for the name of the Lord is a habitation. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. Then he goes to say, which we are born, not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Power for victory comes by the new birth. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. What is in the world? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sicknesses, Satan, diseases, poverty, these are the things that are in the world. But greater is he that is in you. Whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. I hope Allah, I am born of God. But as many as received him, to them gave him power. Now jump up on your feet and say, I have power.
I have power.
I may not know many things, but I know I'm a child of God. And there's a divine release into my life. I am born of God. overcome the world. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Arise and do what? Sit down. Say, I will sit down henceforth. When there's any agitation around me, I will just sit down. Because when I arise, it is victory.